Last week we talked just a little bit about how do we get our arms around who God is. And God has revealed certain things to us, but certain things are mysteries to us. They're not revealed to us. We don't know those things, and he's held those things back. We can't know the whole thing about God, but we can know a whole lot about God, which he has revealed to us. And we do know some things by the revelation that he has given us, the special revelation that he has given us, known as the Scriptures. And we also have this one who is the other guy, the Holy Spirit, the forgotten God, that opens our eyes, helps us to understand, illuminates the Scripture, gives our eyes this ability to see and understand who God is. How many of you guys like coming to church and going, man, I am so excited to come to church. I'm going to learn something new about God, right? I like that. I like studying. I like looking at the Scriptures. I mean, I paid a lot of money to know things about the Scripture. And I love knowing things about God. And it's really cool to be able to see this. I love theology. I love understanding it. I love to talk about the Bible with people. I love to talk about God and hear their ideas and go back to the Scriptures. I love doing all of that stuff. And I love seeing the truth that is in the Scripture. And if you know something to be true, it makes us responsible for that thing. And that's what we're going to really talk about today, is when we know truth, it makes us responsible to respond to that truth. So let me give you an example. When my boys, they were very little, they used to poo in their pants. They used to poo in their pants. And I would go, did you poo in your pants? That's how I would say it. Because they didn't know it is not cool to poo in your pants at that point, right? They just didn't know. They didn't know the truth of that. And so I didn't respond to them with sternness. Did you poo in your pants again? Even though that may be how I felt, because I knew what was coming next. If they did that today, they pooed in their pants, there would be a different response, right? It would not be, oh, did you poo in your pants again? There would be a different response because they know the truth. It's not cool to poo in your pants, right? And so they're responsible now to do what they're supposed to do in that. They're responsible to apply this truth. In James, it says this. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. So you can be here in church today and you can go out of here and you go, wow, I've learned some things about God. I'm excited. Man, I'm excited. I know some truths about God. You know, you can go, man, I know Jesus was a country boy walking down a dirt road with everything he owned. He never met a stranger, born in a barn underneath the stars. His mama laid him in a manger, swimming in the river, fishing for his dinner, died on the cross for you and me. And you go, cool, right? I know these truths. But unless you apply those truths, that's a song, by the way, if you didn't know that. A horrible country song. But anyway, there is some truths in that. We need to listen to the truth and apply the truth. If we don't do this, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves by not responding to it. You know, people will email me, and I love when people email me, and they go, man, that sermon, that was awesome. And it was like you were speaking right to me. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I like that. That feels good, right? Like that someone actually listened to something I said. But what's even cooler is I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what it led me to. This is the truth that I understand now. And this is how I'm going. Man, those are good days when you see that or you hear that. Those are the good days. Here's the thing today. Being in church at some level is scary. It's scary. Here's why it's scary. Because you're going to learn a truth today, and then God's going to say, now you know, now you need to do. Now you know this, and now you need to respond to this truth. That's the scary part of church. You know, maybe for you today, you've been praying, you know, that you could forgive your father and that you could have a different type of a relationship. And the scriptures tell us this. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. What does that say in there? There's some truths in there. That we respond in forgiveness, that we seek out relationship, that we seek out reconciliation. Not just like hoping for it, but we respond to it. Maybe some of you are going, man, I've been looking at things I shouldn't have been looking at. And God, I don't want to look at those things. And yet we know that the scriptures tell us that we're to flee from sexual immorality, impurity. We know this. We know the truth of the scripture that it talks about this. It says to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexual immoral person sins against his own body. And you know that. And so what do you do with that? That's a truth. You know, some of you are coming and you are fighting on your way to church and maybe even in a ride with your spouse and you're like, man, I don't know if I love my wife anymore. And yet the scriptures tell us something about that. It says, husbands, you love your wives as Jesus loved the church. I'm not kidding. I had a friend of mine and he said this to me. He says, you know, I'm not sure I love my wife. And so we sat down and we had a cup of coffee. This happened a while back. And I said, what does that mean, you don't love your wife anymore? Well, and he kind of explained, and I won't give you details on that, what he meant by that. And it was a hard relationship. It was difficult. And I said, well, what do you do with the truth that you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loves the church? And he said, well, I just don't feel this anymore. It's just not there anymore. You know, she's not lovely and beautiful to me anymore is basically what he says. And I said, do you think Jesus only loves the church when it's lovely and beautiful? Sometimes the church is unfaithful. I mean, that's in there. Read the churches in Revelation. They're not always faithful. You know, sometimes the church is mean. Sometimes it's indifferent toward God. Sometimes it's passionate, and it's easy to love. But Jesus loves all of those. He always loves the church. Guess what my friend didn't do? He didn't listen to the scriptures. He lost his wife, he lost his family, he lost his job. Extreme example of how sin leads to destruction. Extreme. If you know to do right, you're to do it. When I was on vacation many years ago, I had an opportunity to have a breakfast with an old classmate. And he was searching for God, and he said, you know, how can people, and this is often a question, we get this question often, you know, he said, how can people in a different country be responsible for knowing Christ? They grew up Muslim, I took him to Romans chapter 1, because I'm like, I'm not going to answer this thing, I'm just going to take him to what the scriptures tell me and say, and it says this, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So what is this saying? So there's two types of revelation. There's special revelation. They're special. This is special revelation. This is God's word that he has given to us. But there's also something called natural revelation. Natural revelation is this beautiful thing that God has set the world in order. He allows the sun to rise and the sun to set. And it brings us to some question. How does this work, right? Like, what is going on here? Who made this thing? Who set this thing up? And it says that it reveals that there has to be something greater. It has to be something greater than me. Man didn't do this. Where did man come from? It pushes us toward questions. And these invisible qualities that there is a creator, there is someone behind this, or a being behind this, is there. And it says in Romans 1 that no one is without excuse, because we all come to the same conclusion on that. There's got to be something. There's got to be something. So we talked about that for a while, and I said, you are responsible for what you can know. God has revealed himself through nature, and they're responsible to know him. They're responsible to know him. He said, well, if that's true, the most loving thing we could do is not share the scriptures with them, because then they're not responsible. And I said, Jeff, that seems like good logic. But if we really believe what the scriptures tell us, is that these people are bound without Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're bound for hell. If you believe that at all, wouldn't you want to give them, wouldn't you want to give them the cure? Like, it would be like going, yeah, you got cancer, I'm not going to tell you that, but I have the cure, but I'm not going to tell you that you got this issue and you're about to die. And he said, well, what if these people never hear about God? What if they never hear about Jesus? What if they're going, yeah, there's a God, but they never hear about it? And here's something that I had to admit. I don't know. What I do know is this, that God is just, that God is merciful, that God is loving, that he wants no one to perish, but all to come to him. I don't know. But I do know that. I want to change gears for just a second. How many of you guys in the house today and all over the place that are listening want to know the will of God for your life? Everybody does, right? Like, we all want to know that. How many of you have spent some time thinking about that or asking that question? What, God, what is your will for my life? Right? All of us have done that. How many of you have found in these very words of the scriptures laid out the very plan for your life? Born 1975, go to school, take a job as a pastor, get married, move to Minnesota, have 4 kids, move back to the UP. That's a 90,000 foot view of my life. Guess what I didn't see in there? None of that. None of that was in there. I don't think any of you will find the exact plot of your life in Scripture. This doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan or a purpose for your life. The Scripture actually, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, tells us that to be true. What the scripture doesn't give me is a chronological, at year 18, you shall go to college. It doesn't say that. It doesn't give us an exact chronological understanding of each individual choice in life. Maybe you've just decoded the scripture and you found that. Please come and talk to me afterwards, because I'd like to decode it like that too. We can kind of sit back and we can go, oh, I'm going to let it play out and see what happens. God doesn't reveal his whole plan of our lives to us like your exact plan of your life for you right now. What he does do is this. He gives us the next 10 minutes of our life. If you're lucky, thank you. That will affect what will happen for the next 10 years. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And this will be a familiar passage to you, for some of you. But it says this, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the next 10 minutes of your life. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the will of God for your life for the next 10 minutes. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. If you're going to walk in someone's footsteps, we all want to be like Jesus. If you're going to walk in someone's footsteps, you need to walk pretty close behind them, lest you lose the trail. Jesus walked in the Spirit. That's why you see him running off to pray. That's why you see him 40 days in going, God, you know, fill me up here. I need to be filled with this and continue to walk and continue. He lived as a human. And yet he was God. And God gave him the Spirit. We remember at his baptism, what happens? This is my Son whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit comes down upon him. He walked with the Spirit. God wants to see his children stake everything on his power and their presence in his life. That's what Jesus did. How many of you don't want love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to be a part of your life? None of us, right? We're like, that's good stuff. I want that. How awesome would it be to be known, oh, that Levi, he is full of joy, right? I'd love that. Or, man, that Levi, he is so kind. You can put your name in there. He's so loving. I think about my kids often, and they're getting older. And someday they're going to, hopefully they'll get older, they'll have a job, they'll get married. And I hope they'll go, man, my dad is awesome. He's awesome. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's a good man. Then I think, holy smokes. In order for that to happen, however long it's going to take for them to get married, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, I don't know what it'll be. For that to happen in their lives is for me to start doing that now. That they would see love, joy, peacefulness, kindness, that I would be walking with the Spirit with them. When they annoy the crud out of me, and they do at times, because they're whiny and they're sinful and they need discipline, do I have patience? Do I discipline out of love? Because my dream of them going, man, my dad is this, is really dependent upon right now, this next 10 minutes, and the next 10 minutes, and the next 10 minutes, because that's what God has given us. How am I walking with the Spirit now? This is a radical call to throw away God's will for my life to go, I will live in the presence of God today. Let me explain, let me unpack that, what I mean by that. I believe that God has a purpose for your life. And the scriptures teach that. But to go, I'm going to sit there and go, God, tell me your will, tell me your will. God, be present in my life and let me walk with you today. Let me walk with you in this next 10 minutes. That is radically different than how we think. But that is biblical living. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know in this net. You may leave here and go, man, I'm going to walk with the Spirit, and you get hit by a car and die. Well, good. You made that next 10 minutes and you went to eternity. Right? But, or it could be, man, my wife is going to tick me off, or my husband's going to tick me off on the way home. What am I going to do in this next 10 minutes? Am I going to walk with the Spirit? That's God's will for your life. It's not this hidden thing that we're trying to find. And if we take the wrong step, we step the wrong way then in this choice. So let's say it this way. Let's say you have two job offers. Well, this one is the will of God for me. This one is not the will. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. And so if you stepped into this one, what happens? This is the bad one. Oh, now you're out of the will of God for the rest of your life? You can't get back in? Let's apply this to marriage. So you marry somebody. When you say, I do, that is God's will for your life, to the rest of your life together. That is God's will. You don't have to question that. You got to figure that out, because they're going to tick you off, they're going to mess you up, and they're going to refine you, and it's God's grace that they're in your life. And you're not going to always like them. But it's not God's will to go, oh, you know, we got married too young. Oh, maybe it was I just made the wrong choice. And it's not the will of God. God has another one for me, and it's over here. No! Figure it out. And I'm not saying that every divorce is wrong. I'm not saying that. Every divorce is caused by the hardness of man's heart. I will say that. Sin. No. But if we take it and we go, oh God, what's your will? Here's your will. Take the next right step with the Spirit. Take the next right step with the Spirit. Here's another thing. God is not interested in coming into your life in just a little bit. He's not interested in going, well, I'm gonna live my life and I'm gonna mix in a little vanilla God into my life, and that'll be good enough. That's not what God is. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in your whole life. He's interested in you picking up your cross. He's interested in going, man, I am going to live by the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit I'm going to live by. And it's going to scare the pants off me. And I'm going to live in the truth of this. Even when I don't want to live in the truth of this, I'm going to figure out what the Spirit wants me to do the very next step. That's what he's interested in. A little bit of spirituality added into your life is not what God had in mind. He says this. You people who follow me, you're going to take up your cross and you're going to follow me. And that's kind of a euphemism in our culture, and that means like it's like burdens that we have now, right? Like, I lost my job. I guess that's my cross to bear. Or my dog died. And I guess that, you know, everybody has that happen. Everybody in the world has their dog die. You lose your job. Things don't go the way you think it's going. Everybody has that. Everybody. That is not taking up your cross. Taking up your cross is going, man, I'm going to pray for the guy who ticks me off and cheated me over in this business deal because God told me to, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to pray that God smites him. I'm going to pray that God wraps his arms around me and changes his heart, and that I might not get anything out of this, but that I'll see this man in heaven someday and that his life will be changed. That is spirit living. It's when your spouse, you don't like them, you don't want to be around them, and Jesus says you respect him, You love her, and you do it because God told you to do it. You walk with the Spirit through that. It is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing to be able to do that. That is walking by the Spirit. That is the will of God playing out in your life. That is picking up your cross and following Jesus. We live in a climate right now where we politically don't agree. What do we do? Well, I mean, we can talk about truth. We can have a civil discourse, and that's fine. But when we start talking about somebody and just tearing them down, I think we're probably not living by the Spirit at that point. It talks about the anger of our hearts being an issue. It talks about not saying like raka to somebody. It talks about not speaking against people like that. We don't do that. Man, that's hard in this climate. His call is to total surrender. Calls us to give it up. Lives of sacrifice. Lives of sacrifice that lead to full life. That's what he's asking. Scripture tells us that his power is made perfect in our weakness. I am not equipped to keep my mouth shut on my own. I'll tell you that. My mouth is quick. And man, I like you say something, woo, I'll get you. I'm not equipped to do that on my own. I need the Spirit in me. I need to submit to the Spirit. Scripture, if a man can't keep his tongue, he can't keep rein on it, he loses his religion. He loses his ability to speak the truth of the gospel into others' lives. Holy smokes, I'm running out of time again. Good golly. I'm skipping some stuff right now. Just bear with me for a second. The act, it's an act of the Spirit revealing God's truth in our lives, in our hearts, and then us responding. That's what we started with. It's not just knowing it, it's responding to it. You don't believe the truth until you respond to the truth. Let me give you an example. The one guy meets Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, you're awesome. I need a little spiritual guidance in my life. And from time to time, I'll come and I'll join the party and I'll pray and I'll come to church a little bit." You have number two guy who says, "Oh, sweet Jesus, I submit to you, and I will pick up my cross. I will follow you wherever you go, wherever you want me to go. Whatever you say, I will do." We know instinctively which one believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the second, right? Duh. We know this. And we don't always live this, though. How do you know if you've thrown God's will, have thrown out God's will for your life, and you're picking up your cross right now? I have some pictures here. We'll go through this really quickly. Give me a picture. What is this? Apple tree. Next one. Next one. This one might confuse you. Kiwi. Yeah. Guess what? This is what Jesus says. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. You're never the vine. That's what it says. You're never the vine. You're the branches. You get your nutrients by your connection to Him through the work of the Spirit in your life. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Here's how we know if we're walking by the Spirit. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. You will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. God's not calling you to figure out His will for the next 5 years. You know why? Because he hasn't revealed that to you. You can read it all you want. It's not there. It's not there. What he's revealed to you is that you walk by the Spirit today, and it will impact your life 5 years from now. If you walk with the Spirit, you will know the will of God for your life. If you know to do right, do it. Father, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. God, I trust that all the words I skipped today, that you'll use these in our lives and that we would walk by the Spirit, that we'd be people who want to know you more, that we trust what your word says, that we hold so dearly to it, that we were enabled through the work of your Spirit in our lives to walk with you. God, we want to know the will for our lives, and you've revealed that to us. It's walking with your Spirit. Let us do that well this week. In Jesus' name, amen.